Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Rita Fagan. Welcome, Rita.
Good morning, Wayne, and good morning, listeners. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the show today. Rita is a reverse mortgage specialist with M&T Bank, and we'll talk a lot about reverse mortgages today because I think it's gotten a bad rap in recent years, and we should set the record straight a little bit, at least from M&T's perspective, right?
Looking forward to that.
All right. Rita was born in Kilgore, Texas. I don't know why she's here right now, but she's all the way on the East Coast, and she was educated in Texas and Oklahoma and has a degree in English and music. And are you going to sing for us, or do you play any instruments?
No singing this morning.
And she was in the office technology industry with Xerox, where she was a sales representative, probably some of the best training you could ever get.
Yes.
Xerox, isn't it? I've had a lot of people I've known over my career from Xerox, and they're very successful in any walks of life. They have great training. And she became a manager of major accounts, specializing in the legal and public sector industries. Well, that's what we do here. And following her career with Xerox, she began a second career as a reverse mortgage specialist and is an individual contributor where she serves the senior community in helping them make decisions about equity in their homes. She works for M&T Bank as a loan officer, working only in the reverse mortgage program. So this will be particularly interesting. Rita, first of all, what is the history behind reverse mortgages? Where did these products come from?
Well, the reverse mortgage has an interesting history. It started in 1989 as a collaboration between Housing and Urban Development and AARP. They were looking at projections of the upcoming baby boomers and the people who preceded them, and their thinking was if there were no options developed based on the ones that were available at that time, then there would be an awful lot of people flooding care facilities. Their concern was not completely benign. They were worried that there was not enough capacity in terms of care facilities, and they were also worried that once people exhausted their resources, it would be a greater expense to taxpayers.
I didn't realize that it was originally sort of funded or researched. The research was based on AARP research. That's pretty interesting.
Yes, it's back in history. So it's now 22, 23 years old. It has undergone a lot of changes since then. As the collaboration continued, they meaning AARP and HUD, looked at the largest asset that most people had and were expected to have, and that was the equity in their homes.
Right.
And although there are conventional financial tools available, they realized that as people were aging, their income was fixed, and they wanted to develop a financial product that would allow them to access the equity in their home but make it different from conventional financing.
How did you get involved in reverse mortgages? What about your background and your upbringing and your life got you into the reverse mortgage industry?
Many people in the reverse mortgage industry have developed a sensitivity and a sense of caring based on family experiences, and I'm no exception. Having experienced the aging and difficulties with my own mother, where right. We tried to care for her at home. That experience was very fresh in my mind. This whole morass, and you feel helpless as an adult child of trying to understand what resources may be available because you're so devoted to your parent and you want only the best for them.
Right.
So I was motivated by personal experience in terms of being sensitized to the challenges that are out there for baby boomers or people who are not baby boomers necessarily, but dealing with a frail parent. From a career perspective, I was one of the casualties of corporate America. And as a middle manager, my job was downsized, meaning it didn't exist anymore.
Right.
So then I had to look around and decide, what do I want to do next? As a baby boomer myself, and having been, reflecting back on years and years, 20 years with Xerox Corporation as a manager in some capacity, I decided I wanted to be an individual contributor, meaning not manage other people, mm-hmm. and that what would make the most sense to me would be to become a specialist in something. Wayne, if you've talked to people, and those of you out there who've ever had a background in technology, it becomes a young person's game in a lot of respects. And you have to think, does technology excite me? And I decided at that point it did not. And plus, you can never know enough, particularly as a manager. Right. You have to be a generalist.
Right.
So I had this craving to understand something and a calling, if you will, to be able to understand something, a tool of some kind that would really be able to help someone else. I had heard about the reverse mortgage program itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned about it. I heard all the reputation that everybody else has, and I was concerned that it wasn't legitimate. But as I did my due diligence and researched it, I realized that this has...
it's a very viable product.
It's a very viable,
important tool in helping providing elder care. What are some of the common misconceptions about reverse mortgages?
I'll share with you the two that I most often hear. The first one, and it is a huge misperception, is that the bank or the federal government will own my home. Mm-hmm. If I have a reverse mortgage, I don't want to do this because I want to continue to own my home. It's just a complete myth. Under the reverse mortgage, the reverse mortgage is just a mortgage. It behaves differently from other mortgages. But with respect to title to the home always remains with the homeowner.
Right.
Regardless of if the homeowner today, and those of you listening, if you have a mortgage on your home, you're paying a conventional mortgage or your home equity line of credit, you still retain title because you're paying your property taxes and your homeowner's insurance.
Sure. What else? I mean, can I leave the home to my kids if I have a reverse mortgage?
Second misperception. People are very worried that they cannot leave their home to their children. There are lots of privileges that owning title to your home conveys, and one of them is, you're an attorney, you know this, I'm preaching to the choir here, of leaving your assets and developing a will, which I urge everyone to do. If you have a house, the house is both an asset and a debt. With a reverse mortgage, depending on the amount of equity that anyone would withdraw from it, that will remain the same. It is your asset, and they're also a debt to the estate. So here's how it happens. It works exactly the same with conventional mortgages.
Let's use an example. Let's say I've got a house that is worth $300,000.
Okay.
All right. And I...
How much do you owe on it?
I paid my mortgage off 5 years ago.
Okay.
This is me, hopefully, in not too distant future. But I paid my mortgage off. There's $300,000 of equity in the house. And now I find that my medical costs and my in-home care is running me, you know, $10,000-$15,000 a month. What do I do? Can I use a reverse mortgage in that instance? How would it work?
Here's how it would work. The reverse mortgage is based on an actuarial table. It depends on your age. And if you're married, it depends on the age of you and your spouse collectively.
Okay.
In order to qualify, homeowners need to be 62 years old as a minimum. Now, in your case, if your home is worth, what's your home value? $300,000?
$300,000. Let's say it's $300,000. Probably low
say,
for the D.C. area, but it
yes.
is what it is.
All right. Let's say that you're 70 years old. You would be eligible based on the age. Let's assume you and your spouse are both 70 years old.
Okay.
You might be eligible for proceeds of $200,000.
Really?
Of the $300,000.
Wow.
Now, you're lucky. If you don't owe anything, you've got access to that full amount, less the costs of the loan. And that could be used to you or given to you in three or four different ways. You may wish to receive that amount of money as a lump sum.
Okay.
In other words, the lender would write a check to you for that amount.
All right.
Another option would be a line of credit so that it would be available for you to write checks on or make withdrawals on as required by you. The other would be in monthly income.
You know, if I'm only making 1% on my savings account or 3% on my CDs, would it make more sense to borrow in the form of a line of credit and just draw down what I need when I need it?
I certainly would advocate looking at the reverse mortgage line of credit as an option.
Right. Is there an interest rate fluctuate? Does the interest rate fluctuate on the line of credit typically, or is it usually fixed or set? How does that work on the interest rate?
Interest rates are set by FHA, who, as a subset of HUD, now owns this program.
Mm-hmm.
On the fixed rate or the lump sum option, that is a fixed interest rate.
Okay.
For homeowners interested in a line of credit, that is a variable interest rate. It is a wonderful option. The interest rates are tied to the LIBOR, and today I think our quoted interest rate is 2.2%.
Goodness.
So back to your question on it's cheap debt. Let's just say it's very cheap.
It's inexpensive, at least today, while interest rates remain low, it is.
And we know that the chairman, the Federal Reserve chairman has indicated he's going to keep the internal borrowing rate low for at least 2 years. So,
And we certainly hope he stays by his word on that, because it is helping the economy significantly by keeping interest rates low in some ways. Other ways, it's not as beneficial. But so I've borrowed this $200,000 mm-hmm. and I'm accruing interest on the loan, and if the interest rate is let's say 2% or 3%, let's say it's 3% fixed, over what period of time is it usually fixed on the fixed loan?
It's fixed for the life of the loan, and the life of the loan is defined as long as the homeowner and his or her spouse continue to maintain that home as their primary residence.
Okay. And it could be for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
Potentially. So if you're paying the interest down, then you just have a $200,000 mortgage balance.
Yes.
But if you can't pay that interest, it gets added on to the mortgage balance and it increases. Is there any limit on how much you can borrow, including the interest payment, or must you keep the interest payments current on the reverse mortgage?
There are no requirements at all for a homeowner to make payments of any kind. And that's one of the key flexibilities that HUD wanted to make sure they included in the reverse mortgage program to differentiate it from a conventional financing. Otherwise, why do it? If you've got to get yourself into a program where you're paying interest or principal of any kind, there's no benefit to the homeowner. The key flexibility of the reverse mortgage for most people is to free up their cash flow. Their existing income can now be diverted to their expenses or whatever they want to use their income for, and not divert it to service a loan.
Okay.
To answer your question, over time, here's a key differentiator also with the reverse mortgage and how it behaves. Under conventional financing, which if we ever owned a home, we understand, at least a little bit of your payment every month will go to reduce your principal. Under the reverse mortgage, if the homeowner is not making any payments, they're free to do so if they wish. But if they do not make payments because there's no requirement, the loan balance does increase over time. All of that is discussed and disclosed with the homeowner with a series of amortization schedules so that they understand and can see the life of the loan over time. The amortizations actually go out on the actual actuarial table to age 100.
Okay. Now, what happens if I end up not paying any interest and the interest plus the compounded interest that's being added onto my principal, is it possible that it could exceed the fair market value of the property when I take out the loan?
It's possible. In that eventuality, FHA has a protection for the homeowner. The homeowner will never be upside down with a reverse mortgage.
Really?
That's a wonderful protection built in.
So it's not as bad as people thought it would be, right?
No, there's so many aspects of this program with flexibilities for the homeowner that there are more benefits than there are disadvantages.
Now, are there any recent changes that we need to know about in the 1 minute that we've got left?
Only 1 minute. Yes. Yep. What most people are not aware of is that the reverse mortgage has a new flexibility that was given to it in 2009, and that's to use the reverse mortgage to purchase a new home. It's ideal for homeowners wishing to downsize or change if you're trading out the larger home. A lot of homeowners don't want monthly payments, and they have a tendency to find what they could afford and pay cash for. The reverse mortgage would give them the option to, based on their age, get a reverse mortgage, use the rest of their proceeds from the sale of the big house and invest it in some way as leverage and still achieve the same result. No monthly payment.
Outstanding. Rita Fagan with M&T Bank. If people want to get in touch with you, what's your phone number?
703-963-6468.
Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth and telling us all about reverse mortgages.
My pleasure. Thank you, Wayne.
And thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.